Let's talk birds. So I am always fascinated with how music directors slash conductors put together a program and why they put what they put together. So looking at your program that's entitled Swan Lake, tell me why you picked those pieces and why you put them on a program together.
Well, because Maestro Moody took all the pieces I wanted to conduct. Oh.
Okay, that's an honest answer.
I'm kidding.
No Mahler then.
Well, I mean, there is slightly a practical aspect to programming, which is to say, I don't want to conduct something that's just been conducted 6 months ago or a year ago. And the community, frankly, deserves to hear a nice wide range of music, which is why even in my own music directorships, I try not to repeat within a 4 or 5 year cycle. Now, a much larger orchestra like Detroit or Cleveland or Pittsburgh, they'll see the same repertoire come back every 2-3 years just because they're cycling through the repertoire much faster, and they're presenting anywhere from 21 to 30 weeks of classical concerts a year. So, you know, Rite of Spring is going to come across the stage every two or three seasons. Beethoven 9 is definitely going to come by every 3 seasons. Beethoven 5, same sort of thing. So part of that is just, what have you performed recently? What's on this season? And what can I do to help complement it? So that was part of the formula in developing this program. The other was I wanted to choose music that really showed off the constituent colors of the orchestra. Tchaikovsky, actually the Russians, period, are known for their brilliance of orchestration. It all comes in this line that was fostered by Rimsky-Korsakov, which was isolation of instrumental color, and then mixture or intermixture of family instrumental color. Versus what you get of, say, from a Brahms or a Schumann, where some of the same musical material may be doubled up between woodwind and strings. So there isn't necessarily that clear of a delineation between instrumental color. However, when you get into the French and Russian school, it's almost as if those colors are much more kaleidoscopic because they're in some way more isolated. And I don't mean isolated in that you only hear the brass at one time and the winds at another, but you hear them artfully arranged so that it's very clear what the function or the role is of the woodwind group at any given moment versus the brass versus the strings. There's a clear delineation of intent and of color combination. And one of the best ways to get to know orchestra really well and quickly is to program some of this music, because it's just so well written already and it's so idiomatic for the instruments for whom these lines are written that then you can start to delve into musical issues beyond just the rendering of the piece right away. Also, it has to be attractive. It has to be a journey for the audience. So we knew that we wanted to perform the Glazunov Concerto, and Chi Yun is one of the most beautiful musicians in this repertoire that I can think of. And we knew it was Mother's Day, so we wanted to pick a piece that was pretty much in the standard repertoire, would be instantly recognizable. And, of course, some of the great melodies of Swan Lake, everybody knows.
They do, yeah. And I think it's one of those pieces, too, that doesn't get performed that much. And I think that happens because things are so well known that everybody's backing off from them a little bit.
Right.
Does that happen, or is that
just
my imagination?
Well, I call it the Arthur Fiedlerification of our business, which is to say, and he didn't know what would happen, but it really came that some of these great ballet suites and the music of Cacciatorian and Ponchielli wound up being put into a box that was considered popular classics or for pops only. And then now even the pops orchestras aren't performing that music, so it's just kind of gone away. And in the case of Swan Lake, of course, you're going to hear this if there's a good ballet company in town, because Swan Lake is, you know, definitely in the core repertoire and will come back every 5-6 years. But to get a chance to hear the brilliance of the score and focus solely on the music, I think is a wonderful opportunity for an audience and, frankly, for an orchestra. So that's why I chose this really lovely suite of favorite moments or extracts from Swan Lake to counterpose with this music of Sergei Rachmaninoff and his symphonic dances. Also, ballet music. It was originally intended to be a 3-movement suite for Michel Fokine, the great choreographer who was involved in Daphnis and the Ballet Russe in Paris at the time. Unfortunately, Fokine died before he could actually choreograph it, but But Rachmaninoff then found that Eugene Ormandy of the Great Philadelphia Orchestra wanted a new piece. So he just recrafted it and retitled it, frankly, from Fantastic Dances to Symphonic Dances. Mm. And so now you have this brilliant three-movement work. Turns out to be the last work that Rachmaninoff ever wrote for the orchestra. And it's a summation or a culmination of all this ingenious melodic capability, harmonic capability. And, I mean, just this morning on the plane, I cracked the score open and was just marveling at some of the things that he was able to isolate or pull out of the orchestra just through this craft of instrumentation that we talked about.
And tell us a little bit more about the Glazunov, because I think of all the three on there, that one might be the least well-known.
And it shouldn't be. I think perhaps it falls into that category of just being a little too melodious or a little too obvious. But I don't think it's that at all. I think it's this brilliantly crafted 20-21 minute concerto that gives you everything that you would want in a violin concerto. That is great virtuosity, fancy finger work, great melodies with harmonies and contrast. And it's all through woven, it's through composed, so that the movements stitch together in a very elegant fashion, and it has this very rousing dance like finale where the brass bring in this little fanfare tune, and then the violin starts to emulate it, and they dance back and forth. So there's certainly a dance like thread that's woven through this program, but there's also definitely a skill in writing melody between these three pieces. But then there's also a very finely honed craft of orchestration that I think is a hallmark of all three pieces. And they're all very Russian, but they're distinct from each other in their era and the way that they use the orchestra.
Is there anything you'd like to add? Anything that we haven't talked about that you would like to share with our audience?
Well, I mean, I hope that just my love and my passion for this music comes through in the way that you see me interface with the orchestra. I hope that when you come to the concert, you'll feel some of this spark that happens between distinct bodies and distinct opinions on stage that somehow decide for a week to get along with each other and to agree that we're going to do our best to render these compositions and bring them to Technicolor life. And beyond that, then it's the next notion is, well, the degree to which you're familiar with this music or the degree to which you are even familiar with or comfortable with the experience of sitting in a hall and letting us play for you, then the next step is, well, what are these composers saying? What do they have to say to me? What does this music do for me? How does it make me feel? I want all those things to be a part of your experience. And I certainly understand that to varying degrees, different people will have different interactions with the music. But for me, that's why it's so rich and why I'm so passionate about this pursuit, is because I think the art of music has so much to communicate and has so many layers of depth and complexity that each and every time we revisit the great old pieces or each and every time we discover a new work, there's something that we can glean. There's something we can take away that will better prepare us for the next time. And I get excited about the journey. I get excited about what one concert then will mean for the next, for the next, for the next. That's why being a music director of an American orchestra is such a gratifying job. Not only just getting to get up and wave your arms in front of all this great sound, but it's getting to be a curator of an experience, getting to be someone who holds your hand through sometimes rather complex works of art that deserve to be heard, that need to be heard, and need to be unpacked. So part of our job is to put these performances together to a degree of exactitude and beauty and with passion and inspiration that these artworks can truly communicate what they're intended to do.